and welcome to this episode of the podcast Freedom of Good Home, the internet's premier funny podcast. My name is Michael Hing, and before I introduce our one and only guest today, I wanted to tell you about some shows I'm doing. The 22nd to the 24th of April at the Sydney Comedy Festival. Just come see the fucking show, you worms. Honestly, come and see the fucking show.
End of the junket, huh? Mr. Hing's been asked to do this a few too many times.
Show's called Killing in the Name of. What else the fuck you fucking want?
No, it's not, Michael.
What?
No, it's not. It's called Kill Hing in the Name
of. Isn't that
what
I said?
Don't rob them of the pun. Why, you just said the title of a song.
I actually didn't. So many people have corrected me saying, it's actually called Killing in the Name. That's the name of the song. And I'm like, I have never wanted to do an act of terrorism more violently than right now. Anyway, good place to start the podcast. Joining us today is a repeat, a follow-over guest from last week. It's Tom Walker.
Thank you.
Ben has taken his family to Canberra, I believe, this week. I don't know why. I assume he's... he said he was acting... Speaking of acts of terrorism, he said he was doing some sort of threat against Scott Morrison. Do you know anything about this?
I believe that, he was trying to kind of triangulate a route to Canberra that would lead him past a Big Hammer store just on the way.
Tom, how are you this week? I feel like even though I was away last week, I was in Melbourne while you guys were doing this podcast, I feel like my name came up several times during this.
You have a strong presence, Michael.
Do I? Do I, Tom?
Your influence in my life is large. Your shadow looms long.
I believe that at one point you were sort of talking about a funny joke that I made nigh on 15 years ago.
Okay.
Probably. Well, I don't know how many years ago.
Not 15.
Right, sure. 10 years ago, let's say.
I'd be 16, yeah.
About how you took 2 days off. We've talked about this many times
okay,
on the podcast.
No. I want to be the person to frame this, which is something that is a rare privilege afforded to me. You, when I was trying to get a job at the bar you worked at, mm-hmm. I handed in my resume. Mm-hmm. The boss of the bar turned to you and said, oh, that's your friend, isn't it? Do you know anything about him? And you said, oh, yeah, he's great. He did take 2 days off of school to try and suck his own dick. And they were a Friday and a Monday. And so was, you motherfucker. So it was a cumulative 4 days. And he wouldn't tell me how it went, just said he was disappointed. And this was, you say a joke. I don't think there was any moment where you gave away that this was a fun lie.
Was that a reference to something?
No!
Was it? Because like,
you texted me a few days before this incident saying, I'm going to start telling people you took a day off school trying to suck your own dick.
But it wasn't. Were we looking at videos of it or something? Or
no.
Was it related
this
to anything?
This was out of nowhere.
So you're saying that just for no reason at all, I just told a lot of people that you tried to suck your own dick.
I think there might be a reason behind it. The reason might be that you are a damaged little man. But yes,
and
I
yet,
don't...
Tom, it's that thing of like, you know how like when someone is cancelled and everyone's like, oh, I'm not surprised. I feel like that was the same when I told people you tried to suck your own dick.
Well, you were one of my closest friends.
No, but I don't think anyone was like, oh, yeah, that really, Tom, really? Everyone was like, huh, oh, yeah, I can see him doing that.
Who do you think you could apply that lie to? And with sufficient gumption behind it, just telling it like a bald-faced lie, who do you think you'd be like, oh, I don't believe that person tried that?
Ben, I don't think people would believe Ben tried to suck his own dick.
Well, he would give up.
He doesn't have the intestinal fortitude that one Tom Walker does.
No. I would also give up.
But then people also have sent me a clip of you at Twitch.
Yes.
Saying that you've tried to suck your own dick twice.
Okay, so that's me quoting. So here's the thing. As a result of you putting this lie into my life and constantly trying to bring it up, in almost any social situation and also career opportunities.
Yes.
When I've been on set with you.
Do you want to know why there was no season 2 of Whose line is it anyway, Australia, Tom?
Michael.
I sent a single DM to Drew Carey.
Well, unlike Cleveland, this doesn't rock at all. Getting on his big red phone.
Sorry. So
as a result of this, I have become just this took me down a line of being like, so what's up with these self-suck fellows? And I have gotten gradually over the years obsessed with, I don't think that's a small thing to say, with the community of men who do suck their own dicks. And I attribute that to you introducing it to my life. But you have not suffered this.
No.
What you have done is just walked by, delicately placed a nuclear bomb, and then continued to stroll away.
Yeah, and I did it for you.
So the clip on Twitch was me quoting a thread I found on a self-suck forum, which I now browse regularly because they fascinate me. And the thread was asking for motivation on how to suck your own dick.
Not self-motivated to do it. I mean, why are you in this game at all?
That's one of the interesting things about it, is that a lot of them are aspirational. All of them are fundamentally not hurting anyone, but a lot of them are like, hey, just wondering, what's this feel like? And then when they do get there, they're like, hey, just wondering, does this start feeling better? The thread I found was a guy being like, I recommend making dates where you're just going to suck your own dick. I've made self-suck dates on my birthday and Christmas, and I don't regret a one.
So what dates have you set aside?
No.
For this? What dates have you set aside? For
I haven't.
Time? What dates?
Not interested. So what was going through your mind when you did this? Do you remember this, or is this you ruined my life? For me, it was just a Tuesday.
Yeah, honestly, Tom, it's the kind of thing that if you and I had stopped being friends in like 2015.
Okay, for one, no one would have batted an eye. They would have all been like, that makes total sense.
But if you and I had stopped being friends in 2015, I think I wouldn't have remembered ever telling our bar manager, Ian, that you sucked your own dick.
Uh-huh.
Or you tried to. I don't think... Yeah, it did not...
And again, I didn't.
Well, I've
don't hit me with the
It's just that... It's just a lot of people have... Sort of, it's out there now.
Oh my god!
You know, and once a, you know, once what is truth?
Oh.
Tom. Anyway, that all aside, Tom, how are you?
Oh, Michael, thank you so much for asking. I'm well. Jesus Christ!
You seem filled with rage. Are you all right? No. What's happened recently?
Nothing. Okay. I've just been like this for a while.
I've just returned from Melbourne, where you were greatly missed. You weren't down there this year.
No.
In fact, no one talked about you. No one mentioned you. You know, often they say if you take a year off Melbourne, the industry forgets you. And I always thought, that's not true. That's not real. And then this year, I was down there. I was like, hey, guys, it's a bit weird that Tom's not down here. Everyone was like, who? Who's Tom?
He's here.
Yeah.
He's playing the big theater. Gleason, right? You're talking about Gleason?
The Ballard? Hard man? The hard quiz man? No, you were very greatly missed. It was a shame not to have you down there with your relative hijinks.
Oh, this sucks. That's so funny. Oh, fuck.
I hadn't seen... This is like one of the meanest things I've been doing to people. And you can try this if you like.
Sure.
Is because I hadn't seen anyone in like 2 years because of they lived in Melbourne, I hadn't been there.
Yeah.
Just when you meet them again, just saying to them, oh, I thought you quit comedy. And just... Just seeing how they react.
Who was like the highest profile person you hit with that, do you reckon?
Oh, David Quirk. And he was like, I did.
Nominated for best show in Melbourne, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it backfired because he was like, oh, Michael, yes, I know I did, but I'm back. And I was like, oh, no, that was a joke. Anyway.
I will say the meanest thing you've done to me recently, which also made me fucking... A double over laughing was after the Dragon Friends show at the Comedy Store when we were, and I can see in your face you don't remember this.
I don't remember this at all.
We were getting ready to leave. You were driving home. I was getting a lift with Simon Greiner, I believe.
Mm.
And just as, you know, we were leaving, you stretched out your arms and said, And I was like, oh, a hug from Hing.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you were wrapping your arms around me in this goodbye hug, you whispered in my ear, kill yourself.
Did I?
Yes!
That's not good.
Anyway.
This is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds.
Left to a thing to talk about. Tom, this one's been sent in by Felix Faber. Thank you so much, Felix. You can see here, it's a picture of several caravans, or a caravan. It's from several angles, right?
Great.
Mm-hmm. Like the kind of thing you might tow behind your Nissan Pajero, if you'd like to sponsor us. The text reads as such. My caravan, no hot water. But tracks have showers, and this comes with a kettle. Don't know exactly what that means.
Okay.
£750, no offers. I have never wanked in this caravan.
Okay.
Now... are you in the market for a caravan at all, Tom?
I could always stand to pick up a caravan, Michael.
Do you think that you would have just assumed that someone's wanked in a caravan, I imagine, or there's been some sort of sex
I assume there's some guy at the lot whose job it is to go through and make sure every caravan is ceremonially besmirched so that nothing that happens in it matters.
Yeah, but would that affect the price? I feel like for me...
I would say it either goes up or down.
From what, wanking?
Yeah.
I would have thought that...
Say it stays the same.
Well, I guess if a caravan has been driven, it's been wanked in. That's my... Like, if it's brand new, obviously, I assume it hasn't been wanked in. But if it's been driven, if it's left the lot, I'm going to assume someone's jerked it in it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. This is a windowless space or a place where you can shutter the windows and it stops overnight. I'm going to assume someone's brought themselves to one of those wonderful climaxes in there.
So if this person is saying that they've never wanked in this caravan,
yeah.
Do you think they're telling the truth, first of all?
I think they're probably... Can I tell you where my mind went immediately was like, okay, so you're opening the door, walking outside, and just bolt upright, jerking off into the dirt.
I've never wanked inside the caravan.
Hearing the splashes, it just...
Well, hang on, it says...
It's a worm.
I've never wanked in the caravan. Not that I've never done a cum in the caravan.
Oh.
So I think if you're...
So you're saying this might be not be a bachelor... someone who is...
I think if you touch your penis while it's hard in a jerking motion, that counts as wanking. Do you know what I mean?
What? Yeah. What?
I was just saying...
What loophole do you think you're closing?
I thought you were saying that this person was jerking off in the caravan, but then opening...
But then running for the exit?
Exit to come. I thought that was what...
Getting dizzy from standing up too fast.
I thought that's what you were saying.
No. Okay. I thought they would leave and for the duration of the act, stand outside and just jerk off into the... I think that's based on... So I have this thing where I was like, in 2016 to 2019, I started to entertain the idea of just how nice it would be to be away from the city and just be like living off the land or something.
Correct.
And then... As soon as I tried to picture that, it would like, I would get maybe two scenes in, you know, me like, you know, gathering berries, you know, seeing a sunset with like a warm cup of coffee. And then I would inevitably have a smash cut to me just wanking into a bush.
And did you ever do this?
No. But just like that was so obviously going to be a part of it that I was like, I can't be doing
this. I think that this. I would find it difficult to do, I think. I'm not one of these people. I recognize that some people are, they like the thrill of being caught or whatnot or being spotted. This is the thing. I respect that as, you know, your own thing. It's not for me. I think the idea of anyone watching me do that or discovering me doing that is one of the most shameful, The idea of living off the land, I think I would just go full Volsel, I think. Full on. Unless I found a little cave to wank in. Obviously, if I found a cave, I'd jump.
Obviously, I found a cave. Fucking hell, you're out here just doing day one Minecraft strats to
just like, hang on,
find
how do I...
somewhere to jerk off.
Like, well, all right, if I look at this topography map, the water is going this way, which means there's probably like to be low-lying areas, less of a sight line down there.
Yeah. Or potentially if I can just curl myself up into a ball under this tree root.
My second question with this caravan
is
do you think that... They're saying it, presumably, they're saying, well, we assume, they're saying, hey, this is a clean caravan that I've never jerked off in, right? Mm. What if they're saying, the interior of this caravan is so cock-softeningly unerotic that no one is able to pleasure themselves within the confines of this caravan.
Selling caravan, not negotiable. The orb of asexuality, which comes ensconced in the caravan's scepter, which cannot be removed under any purpose. Yeah, I think that could be a thing.
Yeah. Have you?
I've never...
What's the fastest you've been travelling while jerking off, do you think? On a train or a plane or something, I imagine.
Or an automobile. I mean, the options are so many. But of course,
automobile's difficult because automobile, you're driving undoubtedly, or you're in an intimate lift scenario, and
It's
unruly.
The screen.
I think if you're a billionaire, sure. If you're dressed up a limo, of course.
Absolutely. And I mean, all of those are competing, of course, with the humble sprint.
100-meter final at the Olympics, I imagine.
Yeah, one knife hand, just every downstroke, just a single quick tug.
Look, this is not a podcast.
Getting shot out of a cannon. You're moving so fast, no one can see.
I was going to say, in a trolley being rolled down a big hill.
Trolley problem, but you've got to either hit four people or the different four people, but one of the eight people is just wanking.
Oh, fuck. All right. Ben wouldn't approve of any of this nonsense, so we should move on. Do you have one to share with the class?
Yeah, sure. This is from the Melbourne section of Craigslist.
Hello, Melbourne.
Seeking a female to dominate me for $100.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like much, to be honest. Like my rate. For something like this, for $100, you want to be paying more than a brand new Xbox game for someone to, you know, get your rocks off.
Are you saying if you were the person who had to dominate someone, you would want more than $100 for this?
Yes.
Or are you saying as the person wanting to be dominated, you would want to pay more than this?
I think both. Okay. I think that, you know, you've got to respect the worker and also, like, this isn't that much
money. How long is it going to take? Like an hour?
Yeah, but, like, you know, they're getting out there. They're living a life that is, like, I'm accepting money for this.
Yeah, what would we do? $200? $250?
I mean, I'd do it for you for free.
No, of course you'd like to humiliate me, Tom. Yeah. Of course. But
I'm looking at this like a laundry list of things I'd love to do to King.
Okay, what's the copy?
Wait, just quickly, $100. Here's the thing I've always been wondering about. When you think of $100,
yes,
or $50 or $20, what is the thing you think of that buys? Because for me, it is always going to be $100 is a fresh copy of Halo 2.
Yeah, it would probably be a video game of sorts, a StarCraft, a Dune 2, something like that. KKND, I believe, was a video game I remember buying as a 13-year-old or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crush, Kill, and Destroy, I believe.
Mid-20s submissive male looking for a dominant woman to abuse me and dominate me for $100 for a session.
Great.
Cool. Preferably someone wanting to do this on a regular basis.
Okay.
I can host at my place in the CBD and happy to catch up with you for a coffee beforehand.
Okay.
Below is some of the play I enjoy. Okay, and this is... I'm looking at the length of this paragraph.
So far, I would say this is quite a regular ad of just like, if you're into this, go for it.
Yeah.
And I would think that you don't... I would say that if you're having a coffee beforehand, maybe you don't need to be very specific about the kinds of humiliation that you want to receive.
Yeah.
But this, what follows is what, like a list of all the stuff they're into?
I feel like we have read, at most, 1/6 of the ad. I love getting humiliated and treated as a sock slave.
Do you know what that is?
I can kind of put it together with some context clues from reading ahead.
Do you reckon it's like a foot stuff thing?
Yeah, immediately I was like, well, that's a typo. That's fucking someone in the group chat is changing the group chat name to sock slave.
Yeah, it should have been sock slave, I imagine, but it's a foot thing.
I love being degraded, and when mistress makes me feel pathetic and laughs at me and instructs me exactly what to do, like teach me where and how to smell socks, clean them. Okay, so you might have to get really verbal with me, like calling me names. Hey, dickhead. Oh, you don't know your way around a pair of socks.
Fucking idiot.
Stupid idiot.
When people are humiliating men for sex,
yeah.
Do you know what kinds of things are you supposed to say? I guess I don't know. You're a stupid little boy or whatever. Or Or do you just go full turbo and be like,
dude, you fucking suck. No, like, if you're really trying to hurt someone's feelings.
Well, I feel like occasionally when I've stumbled onto this kind of pornography on the internet,
yes.
it doesn't do anything for me, but it's usually people saying things like, you're pathetic, you're a worm, et cetera.
Yeah.
I'm powerful and you're not, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, you know how like there's that whole, what's the word? That whole industry of very specific boutique pornos being made.
Yes.
Where it's like you DM someone on OnlyFans and you're like, hello, I'd like you to make this specific thing that'll get me off. Do you think people are now sending lists of their own insecurities to these people in order for their humiliation videos to be much more specific?
Definitely.
So it's like, yeah, when you were 19 and you had a chance to win that football game, you fucking missed that field goal.
Yeah.
You idiot, you'll never amount to anything. Your brother is better at football than you.
Taking off a bra. Yeah, no, absolutely that's a thing. That's got to be a thing.
Right, okay, because I'm behind the times.
No. And it's a slam on me that I am for sure that exists. Yeah, that for sure is a thing. Okay. Like, just sending... Because also, like, the commission videos... The thing that I've become interested in recently is blueberrying. Are you familiar with this?
No, I use blueberries in my smoothies every morning, so if this is going
to
ruin
prepare
them for
to
me...
stop. So this is the... The film Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, pardon me, has...
Oh, where Violet Beauregard, she eats some gum or something and then turns into a blueberry. Something
yes.
to do with that?
And that has sexually ruined generations of mostly men. Because...
They like it or because they don't like it?
They do like that. In fact, they like it a lot. In fact, they would love to see more videos of people turning into blueberries.
No, I yes. thought that... I don't... That's not in the movie, though. That's not portrayed as like a nice thing.
No.
It's portrayed as quite an upsetting thing.
Yes.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
It's very bad. But also, it's funny to watch the videos of people doing it because the way that you end up...
Do you do it with like a Instagram filter or something?
Well, maybe you do nowadays. Maybe the people I'm watching are behind the times. But from what I could tell, you kind of do it by adding layer upon layer of blue makeup. And then kind of clearly stopping and starting your webcam recording over a few times.
Don't you sort of blow up like a balloon as well?
I think they've got like some inflation apparatus as well.
One of those fan-powered sumo suits you can get.
Yeah.
Hang on. Also, just as a fun prank idea, because I know you're always looking for a fun prank. And I know that you can't do the Ben tattoo one anymore because he found out about it. And maybe not with Ben, because he might find this actually a bit weird. But what if you sent... a list of someone's fears and got a prank custom porno made for them.
Okay.
Is this seems like something more that I'd find fun to do you. And the way your eyes are narrowing suggests to me that you don't think this is funny.
Is absolutely something that I can see you commissioning and releasing out into the world.
I just think, would it be fucked if I did that to you?
Well, I think the main thing is publicizing a list of my fears. I think that's like something that I would...
That's the thing. That's the thing you're most...
I mean, yeah, having that out in the world.
It's not that other Toms could jerk off to this. It's that specifically...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. The way I was picturing this going is that it was like a stepbrother and a stepsister hanging out. And then the stepbrother turns to the stepsister and was like, have you heard of this pathetic Australian comedian?
No, I was thinking it more of one of those humiliation videos.
Oh, like a straight to camera.
I imagine this is a piece to camera. It's in front of Parliament House.
You're gonna slate it. Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. You've got like a ring light behind it. Perhaps if we've got a bit more of a budget, we've got a boom.
And the pornography performer is sort of like, have you heard about this guy who tried? Yeah, you're a pathetic woman who tried to suck his own dick for 2 days or whatever. You know. You got that tattoo on your arm, but Hannah Gadsby's always going to be a better comedian than you, you know?
No, okay.
But it doesn't have to be fear. It's just very specific things about your life. And then just, if you just opened it, I guess the actual prank would be to leave it, to upload it somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And just wait for you to discover it. And then slowly go insane.
Geocaching, but for porn.
Trying to work out.
That's so funny.
Anyway, sorry. Please continue with the list.
I would love to. I really enjoy being forced to do stuff and getting punished for not cleaning your socks well enough or smelling them hard enough or simply because I'm too pathetic. Like disgusting things like spitting on face or in my mouth. Slapping, taping my mouth, breath play through face sitting, trampling, feeding your toenails or snot, shoving your smelly armpits up.
Hang on, hang on. No, that was a lot of that stuff. I'm like, that's in the realm of
humiliation. I completely understand. Sitting down for a big bowl of toenails, though.
That's not. I don't want to yuck your gum, but that's unhealthy. That's going to be bad for you.
Well, also, like, that's getting to the point where, I don't know, at what point are these humiliating and at which point are they just jackass pranks? Like, this is like a 5-second cutaway. My name's Bam Margera and this is Bowl of Toenails pouring milk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Con it.
The other thing, though, is that it does suggest that this performer or this person who has to go and dominate you will then have to prepare a bowl of toenails at some point as well.
It takes a while, right?
I mean, I generally just flush mine down the toilet after I trim my toenails, but I will throw them in the bin. But I imagine storing them up to get a bowl full is probably, that's probably months.
Yeah.
Unless you buy them off the internet.
Oh, yeah, if you got some buds around. Hey, I thought of just like a really funny idea we could all do.
Hey guys, so shoes off, please, when you come in. And also, if you clip your toenails and put the toenails in that bowl there, thank you. I've got a gig on Saturday.
Okay, and if you have done the act, you drink. And if you don't, you clip your toenails. And do put it in the bowl, because those things fly.
Okay, what was after clipping toenails?
Shoving your smelly armpits after gym.
Oh, okay. Right, smelling maybe, or shoving my face in there maybe.
Probably, yeah. This is relying a lot on us piecing it together. This next one, yeah, this feels like when you find like a shattered artifact and you have to kind of piece together the prophecy.
Yeah.
Spitting on socks. And now that makes no sense to me that you would spit on the socks.
So maybe... is she meant to spit on his socks? She's spitting on her own socks. Because he's smelling her socks, I imagine.
This man is the sock slave.
Yeah.
And he wants to be made fun of for not being able to clean the socks. So maybe the lady will be like, you can't even clean the socks.
And then
spit on the socks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Very bad. Oh, man, we are halfway through. Make me smell shoes. Take out insoles of your shoes and grabbing my hair and making me lick them. You can grab my hair and shove socked feet in my mouth. Tie me up and sit on my back and push my face on your socked feet.
Do you think this person is getting off writing this?
I think...
It makes me think that, like, the amount of detail they're going into here isn't... This is no longer about giving the potential client a brief or whatever.
I reckon this is one of those things where they've been like... They've definitely got caught up in the rush. They got into, like, list item 3, and, like, the typewriter was like, ding, 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 ding. Like, they were in a reverie of their own making. I'm not mostly into this above.
What? I'm not mostly into this above.
But I really enjoy being punished, not into pain, and being made or forced to do them. So he's not... Hey, just so you know, here's a long list of things. I'm not into these... But being forced to do these, that's what
So it's a meta kink. It's like, I'm not into the toenails, but the idea of being forced to do something as disgusting as eat a bowl of toenails,
yeah,
that's the thing I'm into.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it's like, you know how you're like at home before going out to a party or something, and you're like, I really don't want to go to this party. And then you go to the party and you're like, you know what? I'm glad I came.
You're like...
I didn't think I wanted to eat this bowl of toenails, but now I've got them...
You know...
I'm glad I did this.
This is why I do that journaling, you know?
I stepped out of my comfort zone today. I'm proud of me. Bowl full of toenails, just spooning them into your mouth.
Oh, God.
Sugar. These toenails are a bit sweet. Okay. You'll def have to make me feel that you have me under your full control, like command me exactly what to do, like being specific, or grabbing my hair or shoving feet on my face. Okay, so there's a real hair.
It's like he came up for breath. Yeah. And then he's right back in there. He's like, I'm not into this. And then immediately like, oh, shove my face into your feet, please.
It sounds like when you're having a conversation with an actor and they're like, enough about me. How are things with you? And you're like, oh, I'm okay. I've been really getting into like streaming stuff. Oh, that's great. I've actually been watching a few things on streaming recently. Have you been watching what I've been watching? Like, fuck, Lord, yes. Forgive me. It's back to the old me. Hold my hair. Put foot on my face.
It's so much detail.
It's so much detail. But also, and this is something that I find with these people, is they have, like, actually a very specific fetish.
Yeah.
And then they kind of keep saying it in a bunch of ways, as if they're saying, like, a bunch of activities.
Different activities. But really, it's the same activity.
It's the same activity.
Just foot in face. That's all you want.
Yeah. I would love to, you know, hang out with you and drive my car. We could make my car go around. Perhaps I could sit in the driver's seat of my car. I would love to accelerate my car, turn my steering wheel on my car. Like, yeah. It's just the same thing over and over again.
And you're saying this is someone who drives a truck on stream for a living 6 days a week?
3 days. punish me really hard, saying, how dare you, whatever, and grabbing my hair again. So
how
I can't
you,
run away
you,
or time me
that
up.
Specific about other stuff, and then when it comes to that, you're like, oh, whatever.
How dare you, whatever. I don't know. Maybe we'll find it in this
whatever
space.
You wanna be. We'll have fun with it.
I guess we'll just improv it out.
Make a different choice. You're a little bitch boy. Make a different choice.
Space jump. you can be like strict mistress or princess type that laughs and makes me how pathetic I am. You'll prob have to make me feel honored I should be to serve you and how generous you are to have me look at your socks. Mm-hmm. And that is the end of that.
Wow, $100. It feels like, honestly, this person I think would be a nightmare. I think that, you know that,
yeah.
You know the, what do they call it, like a bossy bottom type thing?
Yes.
This person is so specific on what they want, and they've lived in this big list, and I think if you turned up and you wanted to do any creative freedom with that, they'd be like, actually, can we go again?
Yeah, you know. They have the illusion of it where they're like, oh, whatever, you know, yeah, your whatever, choice. But whatever. Then they're so specific, as soon as you, like, do not do it, they're like,
I'm paying for this, so I would really like it if you could put on the red socks, please.
Yeah.
And again, like, it's all fine, but I feel like it would be...
It's
a nightmare.
Totally chill. Your family when you're here.
Yes.
But could you pull hair, put face on sock?
Before we crack back into the classifieds, two things. Number one, come and see my fucking stand-up show, you worms.
I'm going to be there.
22nd, the 24th of April, the Factory Theatre. Kill Hing in the name of. It's very good. Number two, I haven't told... we haven't talked about this on the podcast. Did you end up with a... Did you want a cum bottle, Tom? Or did you not want one? I can't remember.
I wanted one.
Okay. I have one left. One left, which can be yours. I saved one because I thought you might want one. But
hell yeah.
Did I tell you about me going to purchase the post bags for it?
No.
So because we were shipping them all over Australia, I had to go buy it. And I went to my local post office, which was staffed by one of the friendliest people I've ever met, but also a man who was a first-generation immigrant and so was... His English wasn't great.
Yeah.
But he was such a friendly guy that as I was buying 50 post bags from him, or 100, however many it was, people kept coming in just to say hello. They had no business at the post office. Just kept
say
hello. So they really love this guy. And he said to me, are you selling something? Is that why you're buying all these bags? And I said, yes, I'm selling drink bottles. And he goes, oh my goodness, I love drink bottles. And I was and he was like, he's like, do you have one? Can I see one of the drink bottles? And I was like, oh... It's quite rude. And he goes, rude, please. I've lived 50 years. I know rude. And I said, are you sure? It is very rude. And then he goes, okay. And so I went to the car and got a drink bottle. And then...
Okay, here's your option. I went to the car and I got in and drove away, leaving the money and the goods that I had purchased.
And I felt like... Because I was like, I spent a lot of time with first-generation immigrants, especially 50-year-old men. You know, I'd done documentary with people like this, uh-huh. with this demographic. I felt like I could really express to him what I found funny about this. So I held it to him, and he's like holding in his hand. He's like, hey, you don't need to post these. He's like, we're always looking for things to sell in the shop. If you want to stock them in the shop, if they're popular, if they're good, we'd love to sell them. And I was like, oh no, it's a joke from the internet. It's for a podcast. And I don't think he really understood what that was, but he opens the box and pulls out the drink bottle and he goes, not filled with what is this cum? And I was like, oh, it's like
Oh.
It's like jizz or semen. It's comes out of your balls. And he's like, what? And he's like, what? So he's like, not filled with cum. And I'm like, yeah. And then he goes, oh, and this is funny to you. And I was like, oh, it's funny to me. Are you sweating, Tom? Are you sweating hearing about this?
Yes, it's funny to me. And to my co-host, Ben Jenkins. Ben under the... Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was one of the worst... one of the worst comedy merchandise experiences I'll ever have in my life, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Anyway, I should have brought you a cum bottle. I'll bring you another one.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. But Jesus Christ.
Him. All right, let's get out of this hole by reading this final one. This was tweeted at me.
You took a man who had such a pure heart that his response to I'm selling water bottles was to say, I love water bottles.
Yeah. And this is funny to you? Yeah.
And this is funny to
this
you.
This is funny to you.
To besmirch this wonderful vessel.
Yeah, no, it's no good. My life's a fucking mess. Anyway, this was sent to me on Twitter by a person who wants to remain anonymous. But it's just I think it's like from a Craigslist or a Facebook post or whatever. It's just about, it's a post from a local Eastern Kentucky neighborhood group. There is a man going around Eastern Kentucky, scamming people, knocking on doors, and telling them he has Steve Harvey in his car.
Where could this go?
He asks them for $50 to meet Steve Harvey.
Okay.
And tells them he will go get him to come into their house for 30 minutes. And then he takes their $50 and gets in his car and drives off. He has already scammed about 9 people in the Knott and Letcher counties.
This guy's earned a PS5 through telling people Steve Harvey is right over there.
I mean, I would believe Steve Harvey's anywhere.
I believe he's in a car for sure.
And I was like, oh yeah, he. I don't know a lot about him. I think he's kind of a vaguely conservative, kind of clean kind of comedian. He vaguely represents himself. He's sort of daytime comedian guy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who is a very conservative Christian comedian, but also when the Iraq War was announced, he was like, put me in there! I'll drop in! I'll gun down any man, woman, and child! Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga! Like, doing that on stage. And, by the way, crushing!
Have I told you I stayed in the apartment of a lady who worked for Steve Harvey?
No.
When I was in New York a couple of years ago, I found a very cheap Airbnb.
Yeah.
And I realized when I arrived there that it was very cheap because it wasn't like an Airbnb that was run by like a person as an Airbnb. Mm. It was just someone's house and she was away for a month or something.
Gotcha.
So I just happened to rent it. But when I walked in, I was greeted by like a cleaner who said to me, oh, make sure you lock the door when you leave. Because the owner's left her Emmys in here. And I was like,
oh my God,
what? And then I walked in and on this sort of like nice little marble coffee table thing, there was like 4 Emmys.
Whoa.
And I was like, what? And I was like, well, obviously I'm going to take a photo with these Emmys.
Yeah, of course, immediately.
So I'm like trying to find a mirror in the house to hold these Emmys. And it's like, bunch of these Emmys, and I look at them, and they are daytime Emmys.
Uh-huh.
Which, first of all,
you immediately
like,
throw them in the ground.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the joke is always like, "Oh, daytime Emmy. Who wants a daytime Emmy?" Boy. But this lady cared so little for her daytime Emmys, she left them in her Airbnb apartment. Like she did not. She's like, oh, this stranger from Australia is going to be here for a month. Oh, he can. Yeah.
No. Hopefully, he'll take one of the daytime Emmys off my hands.
But she worked for the Steve Harvey talk show, not his game show he does, but his talk show.
Yeah.
And she won a bunch of Emmys for that, including one where Steve Harvey interviewed a football star, Tim Tebow, about religion and football or something.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I'm what, one degree, 2 degrees of separation away from Steve Harvey.
Wow.
And infinite degrees of separation away from this man.
I love this man.
Tricking people with $50.
What an incredible scam. This is, I think, in terms of scams, this is one of the best ones. Because while it is not victimless, the person who is scammed is immediate, like, should. I think this person has scammed more than 9 people. Because the amount of people that this happens to and then say, ah, now to keep this a secret for the rest of my life.
I would pay $50 to see.
It's worth the gamble.
Of course.
But what if he's right?
Who's the Australian version of that? Who you would pay $50 for the chance to meet in a car?
Oh man!
We work in comedy.
What, aggro.
I think for a lot of people it'd be like Husey or Rove.
Yeah.
But I guess because we work in comedy, we come into contact with them regularly, but occasionally.
Yeah, we've met those guys, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, what if it was like,
I think here's something that I would pay probably more than $50. Before someone to stop outside my house, sprint up to my door, rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. Hello, my name is Stephen. I, for $50, can get you Kate Blanchett in here. She's in the back of my car. We're strapped for cash. Kate Blanchett is sitting there.
Oh, you'd pay more than that. What would you pay to meet Kate Blanchett in that scenario?
Fuck.
If it was like $200, would you do it?
I mean, immediately my brain went to $200. If I can see her in the back and she's like, you know, giving a little wave.
Yeah. But no. Crucially, you can't see her.
I can't see her. $200 cash for an unseen Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, she's the... But they do show you a photo of her holding today's paper.
I think... Man, I would probably do that.
Yeah, I think I'd get scammed out of $200 to maybe...
I would absolutely get scammed out of $200
to meet Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone could be scammed out of $50 to meet Tom Walker?
No. I have Tom Walker in my car. If you don't give me $50, I will bring him in here.
I have Tom Walker in my car. They silently hand you a gun.
I have Tom Walker in my car.
This has a single bullet in it.
For $50, you can do whatever you want. Hand you a hammer.
A ball gag and a hammer.
What I've realized also is the $200 things for the possibility of meeting Kate Blanchett.
Mm.
Essentially, that is already being done, Michael, by the Sydney Theatre Company.
Yeah, but that's
with
not the same.
With like opening night tickets to any of their shows.
Sure.
I think you and I are of a piece in terms of meeting people. I don't think we're very good at it. Like, you know, after the Dragon Friends show, it's like the other guys go out and, you know,
have a chat and stuff.
Yeah, and we are in the back. Not only sitting very far apart, but also on our phones separately. Like, we are doing the exact opposite of going out and talking to people. We're not even talking to each other.
I will say, generally speaking, meeting Dragon Friends fans is great.
Mm.
Generally speaking. There's been, like, one or two people I've met through that who have been, like, quite full-on and quite intense.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, meeting fans all the time is great. Unless they are fans of the Big Soft Titty podcast, because my goodness, I went on Tom and Demi's podcast about 2 months ago or something to promote Melbourne shows. And if anyone's listening to this and you listen to Big Soft Titty, can I tell you, if you've come and seen my stand-up show and then you haven't talked to me afterwards, great. That's great. You've done the right thing. But there have been 3 people now who are fans of Big Soft Titty who've had interactions with me that have driven me insane. First was a person who came up to me after a show and said, I heard about your show through Big Soft Titty. I was like, oh, thank you for coming.
And wonderful. And then the interaction, of course, ended, Mike.
And then they said to me, to be honest, it wasn't my cup of tea. And then walked off. And I was like, okay, cool. Thank you for... A second person who said the Big Soft Titty... heard the Big Soft TV episode, then came to my show, and then when I was walking across a bridge in Melbourne, just yelled out to me, Michael Heng! And I turned around. If you yell out to me like that, I'm going to assume that this is going to be a pleasant interaction. So I turned around to say, oh, hello. I'm Michael. What's your name? And so they introduced themselves, and they said to me, I saw your show last night. I heard about you through Big Soft Titty. And I was like, great. And they said, it wasn't, didn't really enjoy it. And then and I was like, okay, fine. And I was going to walk away. And then they gave me some advice. They said to me, what you should have done on Tom and Tammy's podcast, and if you're listening to this now, I want you to know, if you're this person, I want you to know that this is an insane and weird thing you've suggested, okay? I want you to feel at least a little bit guilty about suggesting this, because it ruined me for days. they suggested to me that when I was on your podcast, rather than just sort of talking to my friends, the way I talk to them, what I should have done is perform at least one or maybe several jokes from my stand-up show to you, Tom and Demi, so that they, the listener, could get a better vibe of the kind of comedy I'd be doing.
Like, well, no, also, we could probably punch it up. Hey, yeah. Michael, this seems to be pretty bereft of little songs.
Yeah, is there no mimes? There's no wacky voiceover that is done by a little mouse clicker? No, you're not doing that? Okay. Huh. Just you and a microphone, is it? Well, all right.
Also, and like I say this, just to also temper this, your show was going incredibly well.
So good. It's so good. I don't need you people. The third person. I didn't listen, but I think after I messaged you about this, being like, Tom, your fans are insane. They're driving me towards doing a global act of terrorism.
Yes.
I think you and Demi must have mentioned it. That, like, you were like, maybe you said, what did you say? Did you like stop going up to him?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what we said, but we were like, listen, all of you, stop interacting with Michael Hing. I think we were just like, we can't say interact with him positively because that will just drive more interaction. And we were like, stop talking to Hing.
Well, one person gave it a final on the final nights I was in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Some friends and I were wandering through the quite crowded streets of Chinatown to get some dinner. And a bearded man who did seem like he was trying his best and was and did... Unlike the other two people, I genuinely think he was trying to do the right thing.
Uh-huh.
And yet still, he said to me, Michael Hing. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I really loved your show. And I was like, oh, thanks so much. And he goes, no, I haven't actually said it, but Tom and Demi are worried about your mental health and so said that I should say something nice to you. This happened in front of my girlfriend, huh? It happened in front of my radio partner, Lewis Hobber, a regular guest on a show and podcaster in our right, Jess Perkins, her boyfriend, our producer, Liza, was there. Like, it was a significant... I think Jess's boyfriend, Aiden, was there as well. I think that was there. There was about six or seven people who were there watching this man. But anyway, your friends are worried about you. Bye. That's when I walked up and I was like, oh, God.
That is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
All of those interactions. Here's the key with all those interactions. If you're going to interact with Hing... First sentence, out. Great interaction. What you need to do is edit out the bit where you give him advice, tell him you didn't like the show, or reveal that you haven't seen the show. All of the first lines, great.
Or just be like, or you don't even have to be like, hey, I haven't seen the show, but I like your other stuff. Or even just say, hello.
Or, here's an idea, when you yell Michael Hing, just say it to yourself.
Now, having said that, Free to a Good Home fans, I feel like this is a great opportunity, a really great opportunity for what I would describe as not necessarily a cold war, but like a really hot war is what I want.
No.
If you see Tom Walker in the street,
no.
Please ask him how he's going trying to suck his own dick, because I think it's only fair that after I have endured three separate interactions with he and Demi's weirdo fans who are unable to interact with me in a normal way, Tom, you should have to deal with this as well. So
Absolutely
if you see Tom, Felix Parker, I'm talking to you. If you see Tom,
no, don't you fucking sick him on me.
Ask Tom how it's going. Ask him how his mental health is. Ask him a really personal question in the street in front of his friends.
I'm going to start carrying a gun. No, you don't.
If you're someone who doesn't know Tom personally but doesn't even interact with him professionally,
I'm twirling a sword.
Tom, if you're someone who's like, I don't know, maybe you're a producer on an ad he's working on, or maybe you're just like working at Twitch or something.
Hit Michael Hing with a car. Hit Michael Hing with a car.
Say in front of everyone in the room, hey, this is Tom. He tried to suck his own dick once for 2 days.
No, 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 no. You don't get to leverage slight annoyance to ruin my life again. You piece of shit.
Anyway, this has been Free to a Good Home, the internet's premier funny podcast. I'd like to thank my guest today, Tom Walker. Tom, where can people find out more about the things you're doing?
Oh, God. Thank you so much.
If you're in his Twitch chat, what I want is you to be...
No, please, please. It's the only place I feel safe. Check out twitch.tv/TomWalkerIsGood. That's where I stream driving a truck and also doing some other stuff. It's been really kicking off and picking up and people like it. Also, we've got a podcast called BigSoftTitty.png.
Now, Tom, just before we move on, do you want to do any jokes from your Twitch stream on this podcast so no one misunderstands kinds of comedy you're doing?
Let me just quickly slip on a wig.
Get a wig and do a song about Lubmobile. I'm doing my show at the Sydney Comedy Festival. It's called Killing in the Name Of, the 22nd to the 24th. It'll be this week after you hear this. So please come along if you're in Sydney. The show's real good and I really want people to see it. But tickets will go pretty quickly. So frankly, I'd rather you people see it than Tom and Debbie's fans. Nah, anyone can come. All right. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.